We're going to start from the beginning of the Masechtas Nozir, Daf Beis and Medal Zakta Mishnah. Kol Kinui Nezirois Kinezirus. So the way the Masechta opens up is and says, well, you obviously know what Nezirus is. So whenever a person, so in order to be Makabel Nezirus, you have to say something. As we'll see, you have to actually say, it's not just enough to think about, it's not just enough to want it. You have to say that, because the Pasuk says, ki yifla, ki pole, right? It has to have a Lashon HaFlo. So since it has to have a Lashon HaFlo, which means clear and explicit, you have to actually say that you want to be Mekabel Nezirus. So the first thing that the Mishnah says is that saying a nickname or a pseudonym for the word Nazir also is enough to be Mekabel Nazirus. You don't have to actually say the word Nazirus. You could say something that means the same thing as Nazirus, and that's the same thing as being Mekabel Nazirus. Now the Mishnah jumps, as the Gemara itself will point out, the Mishnah now jumps to another concept called Yodos, which is that I don't say, now how to explain Yodos, I don't want to get into the Machlekes Rishonim and the Machlekes in the Gemara, but the word Yodos is, the word Yodos means that you're not saying the thing itself, you're beating around the bush. You're touching, the example that Rashi gives, and everybody seems to agree with, is imagine you're picking up a mug. So you could pick up the mug by the body of the mug, the circle of the mug itself, or you could hold on to the handle, which holds on to the mug itself. So it's not the mug itself, it's something that as a result of touching the handle, you're touching the mug itself, or you're touching the cup itself. So that's what Yodos is, where you didn't actually say it, but you're saying something close enough which is going to get you to the point, but you didn't spell it out. You didn't finish your sentence. Let's use that shot. So anyway, so then the Mishnah immediately jumps to those kind of examples. The Mishnah says, a person says, I will be. Now we'll see in the Gemara what the case is exactly, but for now let's just say what the Mishnah says, which is a person will be, and he means to be a Nazir. I raise a Nazir. The Mishnah says that works as to become a Nazir. Oy, ahe no'o. Or the person says, I want to be nice, which we'll see in the Gemara why the Mishnah splits it up into two cases, because in both of those cases, basically, you're saying the same thing. You're saying, I want to be, or I want to be nice, but you're never saying anything about Nazirus. It's just implicit that you're saying Nazirus, and that's enough for us to be able to finish your sentence so that you are a Nazir. Now, this next word, Nazir, creates a problem for the Rishonim, because obviously we're talking about Nazirus over here. So some Rishonim learn that the word Nazir is the conclusion of the sentence before. When you say, oy, hey, no, so the locha is, Nazir, he will be a Nazir. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn, Nazir goes with the next sentence of the Mishnah, which the next sentence of the Mishnah is, Nazir, Nazik, Naziach, Paziach, Hareze Nazir. So, Nazir is the basic word, and then there are some different morphed words that mean the same thing, that's also the same thing as saying the word Nazir. So the word Nazir is, this is the way Tosfos learns. That you have Nazir is the basic word, and these are the play on the words. Now it's interesting, the way Rashi explains that, for example, Nazik, if you take the kuf at the end of the word Nazik, and you eliminate the foot of the kuf, the long line in the kuf, basically you're left with the resh. So it's the same thing as Nazir. Naziach is the same thing. If you take the last line, the end line of the ches, once again, you're left with a resh. And paziach is also a combination of getting rid of the last line of the ches, and also the pay. If you get rid of the top of the pay, once again, the bottom of the pay, the bottom half is a nun. And that's how you end up with the word Nazir. So basically, these are all Nazir. Now, all these are Nazir. So one other thing that we need to explain, which is going to come up in the Gemara, but the Rishonim say it over here. Okay, so these are, so now we're back to explaining what a kinui is. Because these are other words for the word kina. We have a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we'll get to eventually. The machlekes, what are these words? So, I don't want to say the wrong shitas. Rabbi Yochanan says it's Lashon Umois, which means that these are just other words that are the same thing as Nazir, in a different language. There are other languages, as we know, there are 70 languages, or 70 main languages. So there, other languages that actually use these words. So the point is I don't have to say the word Nazir. I could say it in any language, even though the Torah says I have to be clear, and you might think it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah, that it doesn't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. You can say it in any other language, and it still counts as a Nazir. So, of course, that begs the question, why do we pick these words if it could be any language? The answer is because these words happen to be, coincidentally, similar to the word Nazir. So since they're similar to the word Nazir, and they're in another language, we use these as the example to illustrate the fact that you can say it in any language. That is the way Rabbi Yochanan learns this Mishnah. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, learns this Mishnah is these. It's Lashon Shabadu Behem Chachamim. The Chachamim pick these words and they say you don't have to say the word Nazir. You could use other words. Now, why did Chazal feel the need to do this? I'm not going to answer that question, but the bottom line is that Chazal felt that you don't have to say the word Nazir. You could say something else. And these are the words that the Chachamim said. If you use this word, this is also the same thing as saying Nazir. So the nafkamina, of course, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is if I were to say Nazirai in English, so am I being Mekabel Naziris or not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, I am, because the Mishnah is just giving examples of other languages, and English is another language. So I could be Mekabel. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, that says no. The Chachamim picked which words work and which words don't work, so the Nazirai is not a word that the Chazal were accustomed to, that Chazal, so to speak, said it works and it would not work. So there's a major nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, the Rishonim all speak this out, even though obviously it's a machlokes in the Gemara itself, they all speak it out right here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Hareini kazeh. If a person says, I want to be like this, so that would obviously mean there's somebody else that is a Nazir standing in front of you, and you say, I want to be like him. So then this is a way to be matvis, which if you recall from Masechtas Nedarim also, there is a concept of being matvis in a neder, where you say, I want this object to be similar to that other object, and you use the Kedusha from that other object to reflect on the object, on the thing that you're talking about. So similar to that is if there is a person who's already a Nazir, and you say, I want to be similar to that, you're being matvis, you're taking his Kedusha and extending it onto you as well. Okay, that's another example of a kinoi, or a yad, actually. This is another example of a yad. Hareini misalsel, if a person says, I want to flip my hair. Hareini michalkel, I want to grow my hair long. Or harei alei l'shleich pera, which also is another way of saying, I want to let my hair grow. And in all these cases, we'll see in the Mishnah we're talking about where he's holding on to his hair, so he's making it very clear what he's talking about. So, these cases, harei ze nozer, the Mishnah says, once again, that's enough information for us to know that he's going to be a nozer. Harei alei tzipoyru. Now, this is an interesting thing. What's that? Now, the last line of the Mishnah is, Harei alei tzipoyru. A person says, I want to bring birds. Now, the bringing birds is a carbon that's affiliated and associated with Naziris, but the tricky part is that if you only bring a carbon tzipor if you're tummy. You don't bring the carbon tzipor if you're actually doing the Naziris the way it's supposed to be done. However, since it's alluding to and referring to some aspect of Naziris, Remeir I'm an Ozer. Rameir says that's enough of a hint for us. Remember, we're explaining the concept of Yodois. It's enough of a hint for us to discuss that even Sipurim, that's enough to make him a Nazir. Chacham Amar in a Nazir, that's not enough of a hint because it's wrong. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit quite with what you're really trying to accomplish, which is trying to be a proper Nazir, and a proper Nazir would not have to bring Tzipayim. So, therefore, the Chacham, okay, we're not going to get into that Machlekes right now, but you can understand at least and appreciate what the Machlekes is about. On the one hand, it does hint to Naziris. On the other hand, it's sort of hinting to the wrong part of Naziris, so is that really what this person means? And the interesting point to note, and then we'll continue, is according to the Chachamim, do you even, since you're not a Nazir, right? According to the Chachamim, it doesn't work to make you a Nazir. The question is, do you have to bring a carbon at all? So this is, of course, a machlekes, whether you have to, according to the Chachamim, now that it's not Naziris, is it nothing? Or now that it's not Naziris because you're referring to a carbon, but you still have to bring a carbon. Okay, so we'll leave that at just as a point for now. That's the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara. Michti. So the first question that the Gemara has, Tana Beseder Nashim Koyin. We're dealing with Nashim, we're dealing with the sugyas that have to do with the concept of the Chiyuvim and the relationship between a husband and a wife. So, my time, Tani Nazir. So why all of a sudden are we discussing Nazir? This concept of Nazir, while it's true that it impacts women as well, but it has nothing to do with the relationship between, between husband and wife. So what is it doing here in Masechtas Nazir? And Tosfos adds on, if anything, it belongs in Masechtas, in Seder Kachim. Because really a lot of Nazir that we're going to talk about, and ultimately what we're going to talk about in Nazir is the karbonos that you bring. So it's really a kedusha, it's a hektish type of thing. A Nazir is like himself, a piece of hektish. And then eventually he brings karbonos. So if anything, the proper place, if you were picking a random place to put place Masechtas Nazir, it would be more so, more, it would be more fitting to put it into Kachim. So what's it doing here in Masecht, in Seder Noshim? So the Gemara answers a very elaborate answer. Tani Akrokoi. The Tani is really based on the fact that there's a Pasuk that deals with this, because the Pasuk says, where do we get Naziris from? Bahaya, im loisim tzochein be'enov. If a person is not happy with his wife, kimotzaba ervas davar, because he finds something wrong with her, that she went off and she did something inappropriate, an affair or something like that. Okay, so then the halacha is that he's allowed to divorce her. Now, v'hachi ka'amar, so what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Migaram la la'aveira, who caused the wife to go ahead and do this incorrect thing? Yain, it was wine. Okay, so wine is the problem. The ka'amar, and this is similar to what we learn in Masechta Soita, the ka'amar, and we say, kol haroya soita bekukula, anybody who sees a soita who messed up, who did it, is incorrect. Yazer asma min ayayin, they should keep themselves away from wine. And Tosfos does point out, interesting, very important to add on over here, it's not all about her, because the boil, not only her, she obviously made the mistake, but the boil, the guy who was with her, also did the same thing. And it was also the wine that caused him to do the stupidity over here of being involved with this woman. So, it's not just like, you can't say it's her fault. It's not only her fault. It's his fault also. And if it's his fault also, so therefore yain is a problem for both of them. So therefore the guy also should be a nazir. In other words, Tosfos points this out because this is not a blame game. We're not trying to look for whose fault it is. They're both at fault, and it applies to men just as much as it applies to women. In any event, okay, so here it gets a little bit complicated, so how that answers the question. The answer overall is, because the Gemara does give, the Gemara in Soita and also gives a different explanation, adds in the fact that, well, really what's happening is like this. First we learn Masechtas Ksubas, which is clearly about Nashim. That's fine. Then, because at the end of Ksubas we bring Perek HaMadir, which is a perek which talks about what if the wife makes a neder and how the husband has to deal with that. So then the next Masechta that makes sense to discuss is Masechtas Nedarim, because once we're talking about the wife making Nedarim, now we need to explain and define what Nedarim is. And once we're talking about Nedarim, so then we're going to be Nedarim and Naziris are, you know, similar in concept, and they work the same, or there's a lot of overlap and a lot of similarities, I should say. They're not exactly the same, but there's enough there that it makes sense that following Nedarim, once we're talking about Nedarim, we talk about Naziris. And that also explains why Nazir is even before Masechta Soita, even based on what our Gemara actually does say. Our Gemara says, oh, if you see a Soita, you should become a Nazir, which is fine, which is explains what the connection to Seder Nashim is. But if anything, that the other half of the explanation is really, so Masechta Soita really should come first, because Nazir is a reaction to Soita. So really, Soita should come first. So therefore, we have, on the one hand, we have the explanation that there's a flow in the order of the Gemara, that it goes Ksubas, Nedarim, Nazir, and then Soita, because Nazir is really following, it goes together hand in hand with Nedarim. But when it comes to the answer to the question of why it's in Seder Nashim, the answer to that is because it connects to Masechta Soita, which brings in, so because Nazir is a result of Masechta Soita, or the way Tosfos points out, also a connection to Masechta's Gittin, right? In other words, the Yayin is the problem for the downfall of the marriage. So therefore, it's very tied into Nashim. in the relationship between the husband and wife and what Seder Nashim is about, and therefore it is in Pesachta, it is in Seder Nashim, as opposed to Seder Kachim, which Tosfos says, if not for this elaborate answer which we just gave, we would have taka put this whole conglomerate explanation, and we would have pulled it because of Pesachta Nazir. Yes, I understand it's connected to Nedarim. So what we would have done really is we would have put Nazir in Kachim and then schlepped in Mesechtas Nedarim together with Nazir, and that whole glob, that whole group of Mesechtas would have been part of Seder Kachim. But instead, so that would have, so Seder Kachim is a real possibility. However, as a result of the fact that it's really brought about by Soita and Gittin, and it follows Mesechtas Ksubas and so on and so forth, this is the overall explanation to why it ends up, why these Mesechtas end up in Seder Nashim. That's how Tosfos explains the order, and a little bit of Rashi says this as well, why we have the order that we have, and also the fact that it ultimately ends up in Seder Nashim as opposed to Seder Kachim. So then the Gemara continues. Pasach bekinoy umefarish yodos. So in this regard, as we mentioned before, this is Nazir is somewhat similar to the way the opening of Mesechtas Nedarim as well. The problem is the order of the way the Mishnah addresses things. On the one hand, we mention the fact that there's the concept of kinoi, which is a nickname or pseudonym for Naziris. But then when we go to give examples, all the examples in this Mishnah are referring to yodos, are ways, again, yodos are the idea that I started this topic and I don't complete, I hint to what I'm saying, and that's enough to be a Kabbalah's Naziris. So why would we start with kinoi, but then we explain something else? So the Gemara gives a famous teretz, Amar Rava v'itema kedi. Either Rava says this, or this is just, we say that we can say this on our own, because everybody knows this. Chasuri mechzer av hachi ketani. The Mishnah is obviously missing some words, and once you fill in the missing words, then we know how to read the Mishnah. Vachi ketani, and the way to read the Mishnah is like this. Kol kinui naziris kenaziris. The way we have it written is that there is a concept of a kinui. The others naziris kenaziris. Now these words are not here, but you have to imagine that it was, if it was written, and for whatever reason the Tana didn't actually print it in writing, but it's there. It's understood that these words are there. The others naziris kenaziris, and they are. There's a concept of yodos. The Eluhain yodos. So once we're discussing yodos, so now we're going to discuss what the cases are. Yodos, ha'omer, ha'hei, ha'rei zeh nozer, and so on and so forth. Okay? So the order of the Mishnah is we mention kinui. We, so to speak, mention yodos, even though it's not written, but it's as if it's written there. And then we're going to discuss the concept of yodos. But the problem is the Gemara has a technical question. Okay, I get it. There's kinoi. Okay, yodos is discussed. But the lifresh kinoi bereisha. Why don't we talk about kinoi first? I mean, we do mention it first. Even if you want to say that yodos are mentioned, but we mention kinoi first. We should discuss kinoi first. To which the Gemara gives again somewhat similar to Nedarim and familiar to us. Tana me'ahi desolik ahi mefarish bereisha. So the Tana has a custom, as we'll see in a moment, where once we bring it up, so then we just continue to discuss that topic, even though we did mention something else first, but once we're already involved in the second thing that we talked about, so let's talk about the second thing, and then we'll get back to the first thing as well. And there's a lot of examples of this, because it's not, we learned in the Mishnah, b'meh madlikin b'meh madlikin. So again, without going into it, but there's in Meshabbos, we learn what materials you're allowed to use for lighting candles on Shabbos, what materials you're not allowed to use. Umefarish ein madlikin bereisha. And then since we mentioned what you can't use, we discuss the knots first. Similar, b'ma toimnin, b'ma ein toimnin. Similarly, what materials you're allowed to use for covering your hot food on Erev Shabbos to keep them hot over Shabbos. And again, it says what you could and what you can't. Umefarish ein toimnin bereisha. Once again, we jump to the second thing that we mentioned, which is what you can't use for Hatzmana on Shabbos. Another example is v'ma isha yotze, v'ma isha eni yotze. What is a woman allowed to wear outside in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and what are they not allowed to wear on Shabbos? And again, the issue over there is we're concerned that she might take it off in the Rosh Hashanah and end up carrying a Rosh Hashanah. Once again, we mention what she cannot do. Umefarishlo says isha bereisha, and the first thing that we discuss are the examples of things that she's not allowed to wear on Shabbos outside in the Rosh Hashanah. Now, so all of those are very good examples of things that we use where we mention one, we mention A, then B, and then we go off on a topic and discuss B first without discussing A first. But, so all of these were examples where we did jump to the second half of the, so to speak, the second half of the discussion first before we went back and discussed the first half of the discussion. However, Vatanam, but we do have Mishnahs that are, in fact, the other way around. It's not always that way. For example, that there we have examples when an animal is allowed to wear, for example, the bell around its neck or something like that, what the animal is allowed to wear or not allowed to wear on Shabbos. And once again, there in that Mishnah, all of a sudden, we do jump back to the first example. Similarly, Yesh Noichlin Manchilin. So we're not going to go through all these things, but just a loose translation. There are those people who can typically Yarshin, who can give a Yerusha, they can accept a Yerusha, and they can also give a Yerusha. Okay? So that's what the Noichlin Manchilin means. They can inherit. And cause inheritance, right. Noichlin, v'loy manchilin, then there are those that get that don't give. Manchilin that they get, v'loy noichlin, and they don't. They give, but they don't get. V'loy noichlin, v'loy manchilin, they're those that are not, they're completely out of the loop, they don't get. Okay, but in any event, we have the order is, umafarish elu noichlin manchilin bereishin. Once again, when we go to explain what the case is, we specifically go back to the first case, and we don't say, oh, we're already discussing the last case, let's discuss the last case. So we see that sometimes Mishnayos are ordered that we do A, B, B, and sometimes we do A, B, A. So we see that it could go either way. So once again, that really begs the question over here. So if it could go either way, so then why in this Mishnah specifically is it set up, since we had the choice, why did we set it up to go A, B, B? Okay, El Elohim, so the Gemara says, Tani Hachi, the Tani Hachi. Really, sometimes you're right. It's written we go back and sometimes we stay with what we are. So we have to have an explanation. Elohim, in all those cases that we list in the Masech the Shabbos, the Yisur the Nafshehu, these are Yisurim that apply to the person himself. So Mefarish Yisur the Nafsheh Bereisha. So then we're going to explain those Yisurim that apply to him specifically. First, we need to know, because it's relevant to you personally. So since it's you personally, you need to know, don't make a mistake. However, and that's why we go back and we explain what the mistake is. Don't do this. Gabi behema. So in the example where we talk about bameh behema, what an animal could wear, the isura aidi behema hu dasi, that the isur is through a behema. The way Rashi learns is that it's not the person directly that is being over. It's as a result of what the animal is doing. Obviously, you're in charge of the animal and it is your isur. There is no isur on the animal. It's but because of what the behavior and the act of the animal that therefore it reflects on you, but it's not you. Therefore, it's secondary. So first you need to know what your deal is. What the halacha is. What you're allowed to do. And then, okay, if the animal does it, since it's secondary, so then we got to deal with the animal also. Okay, that explains why. Again, this is not all the Mishnayos in the entire Shas, but in this Mishnayos that we're dealing with, that explains why in Bame Isha, in Bame Behema, we go back to the first case first. And similarly, Gabi Yeshno. Now we're on the top of Beis on the Beis, the top line. Gabi Yeshno Yichle Nami Mefarish Iker Nachla Bereisha. And in the case of Yerusha, also first we have to explain what the concept is, what the Yerusha is, who gives, who gets, and so on and so forth. And then we can start talking about all the variables, who should be included, who should not be included, and so on. So that's why we, in that case, we go back to what's first. Now that, once again, that's very helpful. We now gave an explanation to each one of those other mesechtas. Again, as I said, this is not every possible scenario in Shas, but we have an explanation for the examples that we gave. But the problem that leaves us, okay, that means there's a reason why you would pick A over B or B over A. So then there has to be a reason over here also. Elohacha lifroish hinui bereisha. So once again, so the natural thing would be to start with A. That's the proper way to do things. So why don't we discuss kinuyim first? So the Gemara answers, elohainu taimo yodois. The reason we discuss yodohol v'asin le midrasha chavivin le. Enachanami. The reason why we pick to discuss Yodos first is not because for any other reason other than because Yodos itself comes from a drasha, so then it's something that we like to discuss, we're excited to discuss. So Mamela, it's chaviv to us, so Mamela, we discuss the yodois first because that's what we want. So once we mention it, oh, I got to get into it. We discuss it first. Now, the Rishonim talk about the fact that the kinui also comes from a drasha, but it's not as complicated a drasha. It's a more simple understanding of the psukim. So therefore, it's less of a drasha that it's less of a complicated, we figured it out type of drasha versus a, yes, we have to understand that from the psukim. But the yodos is more of a drasha in the sense that you have to make a comparison to something else and then figure out that it applies over here. So it's more of a drasha, so we say it's more exciting. That's why we want to talk about it. Okay, if that's the case, no problem. You want to talk about Yodois, because it's more exciting. So then why don't we taka mention Yodois first? Why do we even mention kinui first in the first place? So the Gemara answers, Tano ki maschel be'ikar korban. When we discuss things, first we have to discuss the main thing, the ikar korban. Now it's an interesting question why the Gemara refers to Naziris as literally as a korban. The same way we started, the first question of the Gemara was, why isn't this in Seder Kachim? Because Nazir is all about the korban. I get that. But the Maisa, the Gemara is referring to Nazir as the korban. And it's what we have to first mention that there is Nazir. So kinui is the same thing as Nazir. It's the same thing as saying you have to say the word Nazir, or you could say it in a different pronunciation, but you have to say the word Nazir. Okay, so we have to mention that first. Ula inyan pirushe mefarish yodos bereishis. But then when it comes to elaborating and discussing it, so when we're going to discuss, we'd rather discuss yodos first, because yodos, so to speak, is more choviv, or not a real translation, but is more interesting, if you want to use that word. It's more exciting. So the point is, once we know that there's a conversation to be had about yodos, that's what we talk about first. So now we understand the order of the Mishnah. We mention kinui, we kind of sort of mention yodos as if it's written, but it's not written. And then once we're sort of mentioning yodos, so now that becomes the interesting topic. So that's the topic that we're going to discuss. Okay, now let's go through the Mishnah itself. Let's go through the various cases in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ha'omer ahei harei zeh nazir." A person says, "I will be." So the problem is, now this is a yad. Remember, this is a case where I didn't say it in full, and we have to finish a sentence and figure out what did he mean. So the problem is, Dilma hei betainis kamar. Maybe he means I will be in something that I want to be, something that I want to do. How do I know? Now, tainis, by the way, is just an example. It's a simple example. It doesn't mean necessarily your choices are either nozir or tainis. It's not limited to specifically those two cases. But these are the, so to speak, the most obvious things that it's the most life-changing, altering kind of way to impact you. So those are the two simple examples of what I meant to say. So the point is, though, I have another alternative. How do I know that I meant to be a nozir? Maybe I meant to simply be that I'm going to be in tainis. So Amar Shmuel, Kegoin Shaya Nozir Oiver Lifonov. Okay. So he says the case over here is because you have to look at in context. You can't look at it in a vacuum. In a vacuum, you're right. I don't know what I meant. But when I look at the big picture and I see that there was a Nozir, he's standing, you know, he's at the Nozir convention. There's a Nozir standing over here and he says, hey, me too. No, he doesn't say the words me too. He says, I will be. So then we can finish the sentence because of the context of what we're talking about, that he's referring to the fact that he wants to be a Nozir. Okay? Fine. So there's a helping over here of outside information that's telling us how to finish the sentence. Not that it's obvious what the sentence necessarily means. So if so, the Gemara says, Lema kosavar Shmuel yadayim shein amichichas lo yavin yadayim. So if so, that comes out that according to Shmuel, that when I can't figure out what I'm trying to say, that it doesn't work. You say, the only reason it works over here is because there's outside information which is supplementing and completing my sentence for me. I can figure out in context what we're talking about. But if I wouldn't have that extra help, that extra context, and it would not be obvious what I mean to say, it would not work. That's what it seems to hold. That's what Shmuel, it sounds like Shmuel, by the fact that Shmuel is saying, we're limited to a case where it's clear what I'm trying to say. Sounds like when it's not clear what I'm trying to say, it won't work. Tosfos is going to bring two gersois over here, which will have the opposite conclusion. So Amri, we're going to go with the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Either it's interesting, the two girsos that Tosfos has is either the word in or the word loy, which are exact opposites. One is yes, one is no. So Ba'amri, we don't have either one of those words in our Gemara. So we're just going to read the words of our Gemara. Bizman shenozir oiver lefanov leka lesvuke bemilsa achrino. It is true that what Shmuel was trying to say is, in our Mishnah, we could set it up in a way where there is no question whatsoever. If there is a nozer standing here, and I say the word ahei, you put two and two together, it's clear that that's what I'm trying to say. There is no question. There's no question, and it's clear that that's the direction that I'm going, that I'm trying to be a nozer, and that would be the case of our Mishnah because it's clear. But that is not to say avol. Now here I'm going to take out the word vaday. I'm going to take out the word vaday from the gear. So avol ein nozer over lefanov. Amrinon, but when there is no nozer here, so now when it becomes open-ended, Amrinon dilma ahei betainis ka'omar. Maybe I want to be in a tainis. It's open-ended, and I don't know which way. So here's where Tosfos says, depending on what the gersa is, you can go two ways. Either you could, the dilma, you could say the first gersa that Tosfos has is you have the word in. That's yes. When it's clear, it's clear. And when it's not clear, it's nothing. Meaning, when it's not clear, we want to say not that, again, we're not trying to pigeonhole Shmuel to say that he holds Yadayim Shein Mechichus Lo Yehavin Yadayim. We don't want to pigeonhole Shmuel to say that it doesn't work whatsoever. But what we're saying is, in this case, because it is so easy to understand the word ahei in two completely different directions and even possible other possibilities, it is so unclear that it is not even a yad. You see, at least with a yad, you can have something that's unclear, but it's unclear with a hint in a certain direction, where it's leaning, so to speak, in a different direction. Whereas the way, in the first pshat in Tosfos is learning that if there's no nuzzer here, it is so unclear that it doesn't mean anything. It's so ambiguous, it's so open-ended that it doesn't mean anything. As Tosfos says, afilu yad lo yavi. It's not even a yad. It's not even a way for us to figure out, ooh, I can finish your sentence. I can't finish your sentence. You don't give me enough information. That's the first girsa of Tosfos. The second girsa of Tosfos is that you have to have loy. And he says just the opposite. That what we're trying to say is that you're right. When it's clear, it's clear. And when it's not clear, it also works. But Shmuel didn't want to use that case in our Mishnah because it's Yadayim. It could be one way or the other, but that's not the Yadayim that our Mishnah is trying to. It's not the Yadayim. You don't need Yadayim Mechichos, but that's not the case of our Mishnah. It could be that we hold that it is also Yadayim Shein Mechichos Havi Yadayim, but that's not the case that Shmuel wants to deal with. Then Tosfos deals with the fact that there's a contradiction between here and Kedushin. Okay, fine. But the point is you're gonna have, so the nafkamina between these two pshatim and Tosfos is obviously very different. Is this case when there isn't a nozer here, is that even a yad, or is it not even a yad? It's nothing, or is it a yad? Sheinu mechichos, and then yes, according to the Man D'Yomer, sheinu mechichos, it will work. And according to the Man D'Yomer, that sheinu mechichos doesn't work, it won't work. So that becomes an open ended question according to the second Gersa in Tosfos. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, fine. So now let's assume. So yes, it's clear that if there's external, extra circumstantial evidence that tells us that the way to finish the sentence is that because there's a nazir over here that I want to be a nazir, so then I don't even have to finish my sentence. That is clear. Everybody agrees that case in our Mishnah for sure works. But the Gemara says, Dilma v'dilma lepoitre min karbonosav ka'omar. So even if you want to say that there is a nozer here, and we're clearly discussing the concept of nazirus, but how do you know that what he's being makabel is for that he himself will be a nozer? maybe all he's discussing, again, as I said, there's a Nazir here. So we know that he's definitely discussing something about Nazirus. Maybe all he's saying is that I want to bring the Karbonis of a Nazir. I want to be responsible to bring the Karbonis. But maybe he doesn't mean that he wants to be a Nazir himself. So how do you know that that's his, that it's a real Kabbalah? And the problem with Nazirus is, okay, so we do have to point this out again, is that by Nazirus you have to have a haflah. It has to be clear. It has to be super clear that that's what you mean to say. And the moment I have some other side explanation, even if it's not the best explanation in the world, even if it's not the most obvious way that I would go, but the fact is that it exists. And I have that possibility. So once I have that possibility, so how do I know that it's not clear anymore that that's what I mean? So the Gemara answers the Ka'amar Beliboy. So he says, yeah, that's what I meant. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Maila Memra. Now there's again two ways that we could learn this, Gemara. The way to learn it, we'll learn it let's read the simple way, I think, at least for me. Ihachi Maila Memra. So if so, what's the chiddush? Of course, if that's what he meant, he says it, and it's enough to know that's what he probably meant because there's a nazir here. And he says, that's what I'm telling you that's what I meant. Of course, it's going to be Mekabel and Naziris. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Ma the tema be'inan piv the liboy shavin. You might think that that especially in the context of Naziris, you need that what he's thinking and what he's saying match up. You would think that they have to be exactly the same. Kamash Malon, so now here's, you have a Machlekes Rashi Tosfos, how to learn this Kamash Malon. So according to Tosfos, the Kamash Malon is Kamash Malon, that this is enough, that this is clear. That's the Kamash Malon. That even though I didn't say it, but since I said enough, and I have the context, and I'm telling you this is what I'm thinking, that conglomerate of what all those factors together add up to telling me that this is liboy piv liboy shavim. That's what I meant. That it is enough, and that this becomes, in other words, if I say enough, if I'm just mekabel on my in my heart, that's nothing. I have to say something, and not only that, I have to say something which is clear. But if there's enough of an indication, and I'm telling you this is what I thought, that adds up to a complete saying of what I need to say. That adds up to saying that I can literally finish my yodos. My yodos are, I can finish my sentence. I know how to finish that sentence. That's the way Tosfos learns, that Kamash Malon is that this, because this is, if I tell you this is what I'm thinking, and that there's enough of an indication, that's mamash as if I said it. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rashi interestingly learns the opposite, that the Kamash Malon is that I don't need Piv Liboy Shavin. That's the way Rashi learns. If you look at Rashi, he says, Rashi Dibar Masu Kamash Malon, with six lines from the bottom, Deloy Ba'inan, you don't need Piv Liboy Shavin. It's right, it's Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Kamash Malon, Deloy Ba'inan, you're right, the Maskana is, I would have thought that I have to say that it has to be literally exactly the same thing. That I have to say what I'm thinking. So he says, no, it's not true. If I said enough, even if it's not exactly, if what I said is not exactly what I'm thinking, it's close enough, that's enough for haflah purposes for nazir. Okay? As long as there's other circumstances that indicate this, and I'm thinking it, so even though it's not perfect, so that's enough to be mekabel naziris. Again, so the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos is, do I really have to say it? Do I have to be really clear? According to Tosfos, if I tell you this is what I'm thinking and the circumstances indicate it, that is being clear. According to Rashi, it's not clear. I agree that it's not clear, it's not perfect, but I don't need it to be perfect, as long as I have other factors which indicate that this is what I'm trying to say, then my Kabbalah Belev is going to be good enough in that context for Nazir, which is a very big Chiddush. Rashi is a very big Chiddush, because again, if you understand the concept of Haflah, that I have to be clear, according to Rashi, it's not clear, but even so, it's enough, it's close enough in order for it to work. Okay, Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Let's do a couple more lines in the Gemara. Then the next case, so far we quoted the case of a hay. Just saying, I will be. And we said that there has to be a nazir passing in front of me. Now the Mishnah brings another case where a guy says, a hay no'eh. So Nozer, the way our printer used it, he puts the word Nozer together with that case, meaning the way our printer understood it was that a Noeh, that when I say I want to be nice, that makes me into a Nozer. So once again, the Gemara has the same question. V'dilma ano lifano b'mitzvos. Who says that I want to be specifically a Nozer? Clearly, I want to do something nice, and I want to do a mitzvah that is nice. But maybe it's other mitzvahs that I could potentially just be saying that I want to be do a good job. K'detanya, we learned in a brisa. Zekei divan dehu. Pasuk says that I should make. Kodesh Baruch Hu Anvehu. I should be Mekabel him, but we darshan ano lefanov b'mitzvahs. That I should make Kodesh Baruch Hu beautiful, which we darshan afi musar, which means that we should have other people also consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be nice. In any event, but the point is that I have a way of making mitzvahs nice, and what are those examples? Eselafan of sukkah, I'll make a beautiful sukkah. Lulav, no, I'll have a nicer lulav. Tzitzis, no, I'll have good tzitzis. Echtav lefan of sefer Torah, no, I will write a beautiful Torah, not just a sloppy Torah. Ve'arkav v'shiroi noyim, and I'll put it in nice silk, and I'll make the Torah look beautiful. In any event, these are just examples, but it could be true about other mitzvahs as well. That we see that there's a concept of not only performing the mitzvah, but actually beautifying the mitzvah itself for the sake of Hashem. So, if that's true, if that's a possibility, once again, we have a question. How do I know that I necessarily want to be a Nazir? Maybe I just, in general, want to do mitzvahs in a good way. So we're going to stop with this line. Amar Shmuel, she'toifes b'sa'aroi v'oimer ano'o. So, we're going to stop over here. I know it's in the middle of the sugya, but we're going to stop over here because of the time. But the Gemara says the case is that he's holding on to his hair when he says, I want to make it beautiful. So it's not just, again, you're looking at the circumstantial evidence over here. And it's not just that he says, I want to do something nice. He's hinting with his hand by saying, this is what I want to make nice. So what's this? What's your hair? Your hair, for the average person, is Naziris. That's what you do. What you do actively, what you physically do as an Uzzer. The other rules of Naziris, by the way, are all, you can't drink wine, you can't be Metamel Mason, you have to bring Karbonis, and so on and so forth. But the one thing that you're doing physically as an Uzzer during the Naziris is letting your hair grow. That's what you're doing. So therefore, if I grab my hair and I say I want to do a nice mitzvah, the nice mitzvah that you're referring to relates to your hair, and that is going to be a Nazir. Okay, so we're going to stop here. I know it's in the middle of the sentence, in the middle of the sugya, but we'll stop here. We'll pick up with this line, Amir Tashem, next time.